Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 30 of the Finger Lakes Golfer Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. We're recorded live on Monday evening, July 6th, 2015. I'm your host, Jim Sinicropi, joined alongside my co-host, the Big Easy, Bob LaPrade. Stay with us for the next hour where we'll talk about our recent rounds in Ithaca, SFCC, and Enjoy. This morning at Enjoy, down in Endicott. And we'll look ahead to the two-man scramble at Dutch Hollow, which is coming up this weekend. Right in the heart of golf season, now that it finally stopped raining. We got Bobby's Pick of the Week. It's Phil Mickelson's short game DVD set. And my Zen Tip of the Week will help you continue your good rounds instead of sabotaging yourself when you're playing well. We'll catch you up on the latest local golf news, events, and results, as well as a quick recap of the Greenbrier on the PGA Tour. So first off, let me welcome in my co-host, guy who I just spent most of the day with today. How you doing today, Bob?
Good. How about yourself?
Great. Long day, Bob. Why don't you fill the viewers in on how our day went?
Well, it started early this morning. We met about, 6 a.m.? And then we
6 a.m.
Shuttled down to Endicott, New York, and teed off around 8:55 at Enjoy, who used to host the BC Open.
Yep, current and host of the Dix Open on the Champions Tour.
Correct. And it was a really good day. Great course, great company, great golf. It was a good time.
Well, you got most of it right, but the great golf part, I don't know. Nobody really played really well. That course was difficult.
Yes, and it was.
And it killed us. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But for me, I scheduled a lot of golf over the last 3 days because of all the rain we've had in June. Finally, local courses are drying up, and you know, it's just been a tough month of June after a great month of May here in the Finger Lakes. And started my weekend of golf down at Ithaca Country Club, which is one of my favorite courses. I really enjoy the mature trees, and you know, it's an old course. They got a great clubhouse, and they have a few really memorable holes. But the course as a whole, I really like every hole, and I feel like I can play well. I've played well there in the past. I've shot rounds in the low 70s, and I was on route, let's say, to have a similar type of round, and I doubled the last two holes to shoot 80. Difficult holes, 17 and 18, great holes. So, but yeah, it was a little soft still because it was kind of early. We've had a great weekend of drying, and the greens were a little slow, but they were really healthy and true. And I really enjoy that course. You played Ithaca, haven't you?
Oh, quite a few times. I love that course. It's a great course, great layout, great conditions. Every time I've been there, it's really nice.
A nice halfway house with, for the snacks, and you know, if you should happen to go in after your round on the balcony overlooking the 18th, it's a great place to have lunch.
Right.
Reciprocal for members at Seneca Falls and other places. It's not a public course,
right?
So you have to have some sort of connection to get on there, but I suppose it never hurts just to give a call.
Right. Yep.
So, Ithaca, and then went to Seneca Falls and played some of the best golf I've played in the past 2 or 3 years, probably.
Nice.
I started off bogeying the second and third holes, so I'm two over after three, and then I hit nine of the next, or through my first 12 holes, I hit nine greens. And by the 13th tee, I was one under par. And then I made three consecutive bogeys, parred the tough 16th and 17th, and then made a double, my only double of the day on 18. So my theme of my weekend was playing great, everything's going great, and then just choke. And so we're going to talk about that a little later in the Zen tip, but then we go to Enjoy today, and I shot a 90. It was, that course was just ate us up. And, you know, talk a little bit about that type of course we played, you know, down at Enjoy. It really was, it was in much better shape. Not much better. I knew it was a great golf course, but when you were out there, that was tour quality conditions. The fairways were fantastic.
Yep.
And this is a course you can play for less than $60 on a weekend afternoon. Right.
Yep.
Because we checked that out. We're already hoping to get back down there. And we played as part of a pro-am, so the course was in tournament condition.
Right.
Central New York PGA's. It was a pretty big one for them. They had like a $1,200 purse for the pros out there. And so we went over there and played in that event. Did not do so well.
No. I've only seen that course during the BC Open. So it was very interesting to play it. As a player, instead of standing outside the ropes. So one thing, you know, the layout is fantastic. The views from the tees is great. The rough is very, very rough. The rough,
yeah, you know, the rough, the, I was the surprised. Rough
was, you know, the grass was thick and luscious and wet, and it was tough to try to get on the green on the par fours if you were in the rough. Even chipping out of the rough was very, very difficult for myself. And I think for most everybody in our group, it was a challenge to hit decent shots out of the rough. So I really enjoyed it. I didn't play that well, but I really enjoyed the whole experience today. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun, and you know, you mentioned the chipping from the rough. The chipping from the fairway was also kind of difficult because it was so mown so tight. So at Seneca Falls and at Ithaca, I like to play from the fairway, sometimes an open face flop shot type of shot, and I can execute it pretty good, and like, the ball kind of stops quickly, and that's what I've been going to lately. Well, today at Endicott, you know, unless you hit that perfect, you were either going to scull it or hit it fat. Yeah. And, you know, I gave away five shots today just trying to do that where you just, you know, chunk it and it goes halfway to the green instead.
Right.
And different conditions. I wish I didn't play that shot at all from the fairway today, but.
Right. Well, part of my experience was lies that I'm not too used to. Chipping from uphill lies, downhill lies, sidehill lies, a few, you know.
Some of them pretty severe and some of them out of the thick ryegrass rough that was just, it wasn't particularly deep, although it was probably, you know, a couple inches maybe.
Right.
But it was, the ball always sat down in it and it was just really healthy grass.
Right. Yeah. There was a few times, you know, when I was playing, certain holes I'd look and say, oh yeah, I stood there, you know, during the BC Open, or I was watching this green during the BC Open. So it was really, really interesting to see, you know, when I was there as a spectator and actually playing, you know, the course. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
And the course is really compact, you know, it's for that type of course. The entire acreage of the course is probably smaller than most modern courses. Yeah.
It's very tight too. There's a lot of tree-lined fairways.
All mature, you know, tall 70-year-old trees that in every hole. And a lot of fountains, a lot of water. All the water hazards there are have masonwork around the sides, so there's like bricks.
Yeah.
And, which looks really nice. It really defines them well.
Yeah, it does.
And you know, the greens were interesting, but not severe, and they were really fast, which was something that, you know, we haven't been too used to. But
it's a good time,
great course, in a municipal, so anybody can go play there. And like I say, it's pretty reasonably priced for what you're getting.
Yeah, it's worth the trip.
So, speaking of fast greens, now you played in the Barney Bridge tournament at Silver Creek, and that's been a tournament that's gaining popularity.
Yeah.
They had like lightning fast greens over there, right?
Oh yeah, they were fantastic. They were fast and they rolled true. And I certainly was not used to it. Didn't expect it. Went out
even the members at Silver Creek playing the tournament didn't expect it.
Right.
From what you were telling me.
Right. They were in great, great shape. And it took me 4 or 5 holes to get used to them at first. And it was, they were nice. It was a great challenge.
How did you guys play?
We played,
what was the format? It's like a,
it was kind of Ryder Cup. It's, you start off with, best ball, then you go to scramble, and then you do another 9 holes of, alternate shot. So, me and my partner, Bub Hillmeyer, we went out, gave it our best. We did okay. I think after the first 2 formats, we were +3, and then alternate shot kind of ate us up a little bit. We had a tough time there. But other than that, it was a good time. Great
conditions.
Who
was the winner?
The winner was Don Johnson and his son...
Brian.
Nice. I think at -4 or -5, somewhere in there. Good score for the
conditions.
You're
trying to get your under par in the scramble, and then imagine the best ball and alternate shot. You're just trying to kind of maintain,
right.
Maybe pick up 1 or 2 the best ball if you're lucky.
Yeah.
It's a good format. You see that a lot now in different little fun member tournaments and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and then you played at Seneca Falls, mm-hmm. And how did that go?
We're talking Saturday now, right?
Saturday, Sunday.
How
many holes have you played in the last 3 days? 4 days.
108.
108 holes.
Yep,
4 days. That's an average of 26 a hole.
Yeah.
27 a hole.
27 a day?
Yeah, 27 a day. 27 a day.
Yep. A lot of golf.
So how'd it go at home at Seneca Falls?
I think Saturday was... little tough. I think it was like 82-83, and then Sunday was a little worse, 85-86. I think, you know, fatigue started to kick in quite a bit.
Well, I'm tired myself after today. You know, what was it now? leaving town 13 hours ago, 15 hours ago.
Right.
We left town 15 hours ago playing that tournament. It was a warm day, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And the forecast this week shows, you know, hot tomorrow on Tuesday, then cooling down on Wednesday, and then maybe some heat and humidity returning next week for the Dutch Hollow 2-man, Bob, which we should
talk about. Yep.
For those of you that don't know, the 2-man at Dutch Hollow is a fantastic tournament. I've played in it. Oh, geez.
29?
And first one I was 16. I'm 42 now.
Yep.
And I'm not good at doing 30. So 26th time, right?
Wow.
That would be 26 in a row. It's one of the few 2-day tournaments I still play in. I used to, back in the day before, growing up when I had all the time in the world, I played in like 4 or 5 a summer. So this is the last one, but... it's a pre-flighted tournament, or it's a flighted after the first round tournament. So you play your first round, 2-man scramble on a great 2-man scramble course at Dutch Hollow. It's like they constructed it for a scramble.
Right.
Especially 2-man, which we talked about that in last week's episode, number 29. If you want to go back and listen, we talked all about scrambles, and we agreed 2-man's a lot of fun. But perfect course for scramble. They get it in good shape, and then you play your first round, and then they flight it. Usually there's about 10 different flights of 8 to 10 teams. Then you go out on Sunday and play within your flight for pretty decent prizes, you know, pretty decent pool and a huge skins game, great steak dinner. And we got a lot of people coming in from out of town, a lot of people coming from the club heading up to Dutch Hollow. So, you know, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about it. Should be a good time. I got a good partner, Jason Peralt. Good driver, good chipper, good putter. So he carries me most of the time. So I'm looking forward to it.
And my partner is Jeremy Hunt. You may know him from such camera work is done on the Finger Lakes sports team for high school basketball coverage.
Nice.
He's on the main camera. So we're going to, well, we did well last year. I think we came in second in our flight, and we didn't make a bogey all weekend, which I've never done that in 26 years.
That's pretty decent.
And so we got to ride that streak heading into this year. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get one early and it'll just be over. Stop worrying about it. But, you know, you get in the, to the back nine maybe without any bogeys, and all of a sudden, that's, I think that's added a little added pressure.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. Don't track it.
So, a lot of golf this week. And, hey, this episode is basically about all our golf that we played but and our scheduled to play. But on the PGA Tour, it was a Greenbrier Classic and a fantastic course down there in West Virginia. This is becoming a nice tournament. And one, they have three tournaments sandwiched between the U.S. Open and the British. And, you know, it's kind of like the heart of the season, I think, for golfers. So Danny Lee wins. There was a good tournament. They had a four-man playoff, which is always something different, and it didn't take long, just two playoff holes. Danny Lee from New Zealand, originally from South Korea. And he outlasted David Hearn in the playoff, Robert Streb, and Kevin Kisner also in the playoffs. And Kisner playing better than anybody on tour consistently. This is his third playoff this year. And he lost them all. But he's due to win soon. And Streb, Bob, something happened with his putter.
He tossed it at the bag and it snapped at the hosel. Which apparently the announcer said this is like the second time it's happened this year. Then he ended up putting with his sand wedge just fantastically.
And sometimes you find that, well, I don't know if sometimes you find, but I saw a guy who couldn't make a putt back when I was caddying. It's actually Stan Gorman. I don't know if anybody knows his name. I don't even know if he's still a pro around here. But he got so mad because he was putting so bad that he broke his putter. I think he broke it right over his knee. And then he proceeded to putt with his 3-iron and started knocking in putts, you know, putts that he had previously missed. And what it boils down to is that with a 3-iron, he had to take extra care just to make solid contact every time. So I think with a putter, you know, he's less concerned about the contact and balance required to strike a putt with a 3-iron. So, you know, not surprising that Streb putted. I guess it's a little surprising that he really putted really well.
He did.
With that sand wedge. But I think it really forces you to focus on speed and contact, and you really need to concentrate. So,
well, the announcers also touched on it. One of the things that's important, and it, and you can do it very easily with like the edge of an iron, like a sand wedge, those kind of things, is get that overspin roll kind of in it. And sometimes with a putter, it's if you set up incorrectly, it's a little bit harder to have that happen. So what you'll do is you'll pop that ball in the air a little bit, and you'll get a
backspins.
You get a little bit of a check on it. With an iron, that's extremely hard to do unless you hit it really low on the ball. So if you looked, they showed some slow motion putts from him.
I've seen those videos.
And he was coming in with a sand wedge, and he was hitting it just around the equator or so, and it was putting that overspin on the ball, and the ball wasn't popped up and having a little backspin, you know. So that's a pretty important thing. And so, you know, you can go out on the practice screen and try it, put the ball a little bit forward in your stance and make sure you're hitting it a little bit up on the upstroke and see what kind of roll you're getting. Try it out.
Yeah, especially if you're struggling with your putting, just to get a different look and then go back to your putter and try to go at it with that same focus. So before we move on from the tour, what about Tiger? You know, we got to talk about Tiger. Everybody wants to talk about Tiger. He actually made a cut and finished at 7-under, which put him somewhere, what, around 30-something? But everybody thinks Tiger's back. You know, I maintain the same thing I've said all along, is that he's like the 150th player on tour, you know. He's and those guys every now and then make a cut, have a decent week. my prediction. He says he's going to go to St. Andrews. And despite the fact that that course has really suited him and he's won there before so many times, and he's going to miss the cut. So, you know, he's going to blow up somewhere along the way. He's going to struggle. At the very least, if he makes the cut, and there's no way he finishes on, like, a Sunday. Like, if he goes into Sunday in contention, I think he crumbles on Sunday. That's right. My prediction. I don't know. What do you think? You think it's Tiger back? Is he going to contend in the
Open at St. Andrews? I think Tiger's for good for golf. I hope he's back, but this one tournament doesn't really determine anything. He's a lottery pick at this point for any tournament. He did show flashes of brilliance in this. I think his putting faltered in some cases, and in some cases he made some good putts. So is his game on? I think we need to see more than just four rounds to really find out what's going on. So I think the Open will be a great test to let us know where he is actually. So, and you know what? I'll be honest with you. Who's the guy that does the swing vision is it
Peter Costas?
Yeah, Costas did a swing vision on him. Was it Thursday or Friday or something? And said he pointed out that they had a split frame, one of Tiger on the range and one of him actually on the course, and they showed, you know, both of them at the same time. And Costas pointed out that his swing was faster while he's on the course, and on the range he was hitting it better, but his tempo was slower. So they noticed that maybe it was a tournament before, I can't remember, but during this tournament his tempo seemed to be much slower and he was hitting the ball, you know, much better. He's hitting more fairways, those kind of things. So maybe Tiger saw that. Maybe, you know.
But, like, I played great at Ithaca. I'm very comfortable there. I played great at Seneca Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Enjoy, and I was hitting horrible shots, you know. And the reason why is Ithaca in Seneca Falls, I had great tempo. I just was kind of going. It was very comfortable the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You get to Enjoy, a course that I'd caddied there. I did play there once, that's in like a practice round for what the event I was caddying for, where we went up the night before, and I did caddy there, but I don't really remember a lot about it. So it was all new to me, you know, even if this was over 20 years ago too, that we're talking about when I caddied. So it was a new course. It was an intimidating course, because of the tree lined fairways on almost every hole.
Right.
And a lot of water. And I couldn't swing at the same tempo. For whatever reason, you feel like you got to hit it a little harder, you got to do it a little quicker, you want to get it over with.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. And, you know, Bob, you played league tonight, and you shot a 39. So you were at Enjoy, you shot a 91.
Mm-hmm.
And you got off to a pretty decent start, too, at Enjoy. I think it was a 43 on the front.
Yep.
But 39 at league back home, you know, different course, same day. As a matter of fact, you probably should be tired and a little tight.
Yeah.
But you played great. You said you hit the ball great.
Yeah.
And it's just different. Seneca Falls, when you look out over the sixth tee or any tee, you've hit that shot, you know, 1,000 times.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and you know where all the trouble is and just feel a lot more comfortable. Right. And the stakes weren't quite so high. You were playing them 9-hole Monday Night League instead of the Pro-Am at Endicott, where you know, you've been excited for it and you want to do well. And so you get out there, and all of a sudden, you're just surrounded by fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no comfort level. It's tough to find a comfort level because it's scary.
Well, even when you hit a shot that it's not destined for the fairway, it's that level of the unknown. You know, what's my next shot going to look like? Am I going to find my ball on your way to it, right? Or even before you get off the tee. So you don't have that at a course that you play all the time, because when you relatively know where your shot's going to end up.
Even if you don't see it,
you right, can... you relatively know that what kind of shot you're going to have on your next shot, what kind of shot you're probably going to play.
Those where kind of every bunker is, and right, where every water hit, how far away, and the right, last time, you know, when you hit there, if you hit an 8-iron, that's going to be the perfect layup. You don't have to think right, about it.
Absolutely.
And certainly the short game, the greens, it's, you know, all second nature, beat your home course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, I went to, we went to the range before we played, and mm-hmm, you know, I hit the ball good. I was nice and relaxed. I had the nice tempo, and I was really excited because I was hitting it good. And I hit three or four hybrids, and they were all right where I wanted to. You know, slight draw right at the target. And then I set up, and I cut one, and I hit a nice little, like, 7-yard fade with it.
Mm-hmm.
All total command to those shots. Then fast forward about a half an hour later, we're standing on the first tee, and it's a tight tee shot, and it's a short par four, so I pull out the hybrid. And I blow it like 30 yards right, you know, into the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference between those swings I was taking on the range and the first tee at Enjoy is that stand on the first tee at Enjoy, and instead of focusing on the target like I was on the range, I was focused on all the trouble and all the expectations and anticipation of the round that I wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you realize that, geez, we want to get off to a good start. And if you so much trouble up there, you could really make a big number. And it was an easy hole. Just focus on the target and hit it down there.
Right.
But you know, that's the same type of thing we're talking about. You know, you're at Seneca Falls. You played great, hit the ball great, hit Enjoy. It's just you focus on the trouble more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of trouble at Seneca Falls, too, but we don't focus on it because we're used to it.
Right, yeah.
So I think we tend to focus on the target a little more. But in a new course, you don't even know what the target is sometimes.
Right, yep.
We're running some golf pools at DraftKings.com. They're not running them. Well, actually, we are. You see a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I kind of like it, Bob. Go on there, pick a... You know, it makes watching the tournament a little more fun.
Yep.
So, we're going to be setting up a FLX Golf will be the name of the contest, and I'm going to go ahead and set this up. It'll be ready to go by Tuesday at noon.
How do we sign up? Do we just go there and look for FLX? Or?
Yeah, and we'll start maybe talking about our picks on the golf podcast, but I will... Also, to all the people involved in the podcast, I'm going to send an invite to. But for anyone else that wants to get in it, you just search for FLX Golf. And then go in, join the contest, pick your team. Of course, you need an account,
mm-hmm,
at DraftKings. But it's pretty simple. And I think they got a deposit bonus. And we'll probably make it something like $5, maybe $10 a person,
yeah,
to get in there. Maybe just $5. We'll just keep it friendly. And, you know, talk about how we did each weekend. If one of our listeners joins and wins, then, you know, obviously we'll mention that, talk about their team and their picks. So,
sure.
Just another reason to subscribe and like the podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, click on the red button below if you're watching on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up there. That always helps the discoverability,
mm-hmm,
of our episodes. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher.com, which is a great way to listen to audio versions of our show or any podcasts on Stitcher.com, whether it's plugging it into your car stereo or just plugging in your headphones while you're walking the dog or mowing the lawn. And we're also on the FingerLakes1.com app at the Android or Apple Store. All these links, our latest episodes, and complete archives are available online at FingerLakes1.tv/golfpod. So, Bob, happy to report that it's time for the segment that we haven't done in a couple weeks. It's time for Bobby's Pick of the Week.
Nice.
Bobby's Pick of the Week.
Cool. All right, Bob. So what do you have this week for pick of the week?
This week we've got, we're kind of going old school with Phil Mickelson's short game DVD video series, which is, I'd say probably 7 years old, maybe a little longer than that. But it's a great instructional video for learning to hit different types of chipping, pitch shots, flop shots, those kind of things. To some of the more veteran type players, this is not going to be anything new. You probably do it, you know, you've probably been doing it and don't even realize that you're using this method that's described here. For if you're a new player, it's a great way to learn how to chip pitch or flop shots. And who better to learn it from than Phil Mickelson? He's probably one of the better chippers on tour on the short game around the greens. And I think it's if you can find it now. Ironically, I was looking for different places where you can get this series. Where I originally saw this from was Netflix, and I don't see it available on Netflix anymore. So perhaps.
Oh, that would be a nice. You mean to get the disc via Netflix?
Yeah, yep. You get the discs.
Wonder
via
if it's
Netflix.
Available on the streaming service.
It may be. I did a cursory search. I didn't find anything. But eBay may have copies. I did check
Amazon.
They
do, Bob. As a matter of fact, great. You know, here they go. You can see you've got some copies on eBay for $16, $17, $11.95,
$21.99. Nice. Fantastic.
There's also the hardcover book for, it looks like, $12. So it's out there to be had. You could get it this one here for $75.98. Wow. I wouldn't choose that one. I would go for one of these other ones.
Yeah, I think the book or the DVD instructionals would be more than enough. the DVD is a quick view. I think it's two discs, but they're only like, you know, maybe an hour a piece or something like that, or maybe a little less. The book I don't have experience with, but it's probably a quick read. You can pick it up real quick, go out in the backyard, try it out, give it a shot, and see if it's something that I've done that a couple times.
Oh, that was thin.
Yep. So it's a really good technique. Like I said, a lot of people already do it and probably don't realize that have been playing for years. It's all about learning to keep the club head from passing your hands during a normal chipping, pitching scenario. If you're going to flop a shot, it's a little bit different. But I encourage everybody that is new to golf or just needs help with their chipping and pitching and flopping to give it a look.
Yeah, and this is, covers, pretty much your whole short game.
Right, yep. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And, it's been said that that's the best way to shave strokes right off your game, to improve mm-hmm. your short game. All right, good pick of the week. Next week, Rhett Ticone's going to be in studio to help us preview the British.
Yeah, fantastic.
And he's working on a potential pick of the week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I don't know if we got time to make him his own segment intro, but maybe we can put it in the guise of Bobby's pick of the week.
All right.
It is tough to come up with picks.
Oh, it is every week.
Looking at local golf news. Now in its sixth year, the Rochester District Golf Association's Women's Championship also celebrates the life of Spencerport native and LPGA Tour golfer Danielle Downey, who was killed in an auto accident in early 2014. Since last year, the Rochester District Golf Association has recognized Downey's contributions to local women's golf by naming the Women's Championship the Danielle E. Downey Memorial in her honor. So registration for this year's RDGA Women's Championship is scheduled for July 10th and 11th and hosted by Midvale Country Club in Penfield. And the registration is open through July 7th, which would be Tuesday or tomorrow if you're watching us live. local women amateurs who are members of the RDGA member clubs and have USGA handicaps of 15 and under are invited to enter the championship. Sean Stanistreet, a West Genesee student, defeated Andrew Massa, a Fayetteville Manlius student, in match play 6-4 to win the Syracuse District Golf Association Junior Championship on July 1st at Owasco Country Club. Sean Colella defeated Ian Rivers 3-2 to win the boys' division for players 14 and under, and John Cacchio won the Junior A flight with a 6-4 win over Brendan Villeneuve. The newly renovated Radisson Greens hosted the Central New York Senior Golfers Best Ball Tournament on June 29th and 30th. In the first flight, Tom Christian and Jim Gonatis each shot 68 for a combined total of 136. Todd Dischinger and Perry Noun also combined for 136, but I don't know if they played off or match cards or what. But first flight championship went to Christian and Gonatis. Central New York PGA update. As we mentioned, this week's event was at the Enjoy Golf Course in Endicott, New York, the Turning Stone Pro-Am Series number 3. And it was Mel Bonfire in a 3-under par 69. Geez, Bob, just a little better than us.
Just a touch.
About 20, 21 strokes.
Yeah.
And he edged out Joe Norman and Eric Manning, who fired 1-under par 71. Jeff Reeder, even par 72. Fourth place, and front nine at Enjoy, par 37. You don't see that very often.
No.
At least four.
They had three par fives.
You know, they might change it for when the PGA was there, when the seniors get there. I'm not sure. Should have researched that. Next Monday, National Car Rental Scratch Pro Team at Thendera. And then also on Friday, it's the Pro Junior Championships at Skinny Atlas. That's a tournament I played in as a youth with our pro at the time.
Nice.
And then we have the Dutch Hollow two-man scramble is full, although there's a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you got to call and get on a waiting list right now to get in, which I wish they would just extend those afternoon tea times a little bit. Let's get some more guys out there. Yeah. The bigger skins game.
Yep.
But again, tournament's very popular. And, you know, no surprise it's filled up. With less than a week to go here. Right. We've been signed up for well over a month now. And that Saturday and Sunday, if you want to get a team and get on the waiting list, DutchHollow.com. What else do we got here? Holes in one this week. Not a lot. At least not a lot reported. Jim Leetgeb used a four hybrid ace 157 yard eighth hole at Victor Hills Executive Course, which, Bob, I just don't really believe that holes in one should count if they come on a par three course.
Really?
Yeah, well, if the rules of golf state they need to be during a normal round, and I don't consider playing 18 par threes a normal round.
The USGA doesn't consider it? Or?
I'm again, should have done more research.
Okay.
Paul Pitcher Sr. aced the 153-yard 13th hole at Beaver Meadows using a 7-iron. Gary Trapp used a 5-iron to score a hole-in-one at the 165-yard 12th at Mill Creek. And Chris Capicelli had a hole-in-one on the 130-yard 3rd hole at Camillus Country Club using an 8-iron. Tom Ryan aced the 166-yard 8th hole at Cavalry Club using a 27-degree hybrid.
Wow. Nice.
What is that then? Like a five hybrid?
Five
or
iron?
Six even?
Five iron?
No, the hybrid, the 27 degree. What would be the club number, you think?
Not sure. Five? Yeah, maybe a five.
Send us your hole in ones to contact at fingerlakes1.com, subject line FLX golfer, and we'll read them on the air. Well, Bob, coming up here, saved a little time for our Zen tip of the week. Because I think it's a good one that we need to talk about. I want to talk about it. It's the Zen tip of the week.
Zen tip of the week.
Yes, it's time for the Zen tip of the week, Bob. And talked about how I sabotaged my rounds or how I had horrible finishes. Again, at Seneca Falls, one under par, heading to 13, hit a good drive. Missed the green short left with a 6-iron that I didn't, was probably one of the worst, I didn't hit many bad shots up until that point. Mm-hmm. When I did, I was able to recover. Again, I didn't have a great lie in the rough, knocked it up and missed like a 4-foot putt. Then at 14, I'm 80 yards in with a wedge in my hand. I stick it to about 15, 17 feet maybe, 3-putt. Mm-hmm. Two bogeys in a row. Now I'm back to 1-over. 15, hit a hybrid down the right side of the fairway, leave myself about 60-yard wedge. 65, 60-yard wedge. And chunk it, leave it short, don't get up and down. Another bogey. Then I par 16, 17. 16, toughest hole in the course. Mm-hmm. Hit good shots throughout. And then on 18... I hit a decent drive down the right side. It's a par 5. Hit my second shot just right underneath a tree branch. The Osage oranges on the right side where I had to play a wedge lower. But I hit a pretty good shot, I thought. But it hit the front of the green and rolled right over by the pin and into the bunker. Sculled it out of the bunker. Had an easy up and down chip. Was already a little flustered. Mm-hmm. Left myself about 4 feet maybe. Missed it. Double bogey, only double of the day, mm-hmm. 76. And Ithaca Country Club played great. Come to the 17th hole, at Ithaca I struggled a little bit with my driver. My big miss was like a duck hook smother, and I was able to recover throughout the day and made a couple birdies. So, but I wasn't able to recover on 17 and 18 when I hit that duck hook. I got in trouble in trees. They're both long holes, and I doubled them both. You know, to shoot an 80, so he, which would have been happy with, but it finished the round, and it was a 76. If I par the last two, even if I bogey one and par the other, that's a 77. I'm ecstatic with that, especially in a road course.
Yep.
And at Seneca Falls, even after bogeying 14 and 15, I'm standing on the 18th tee at 2 over par. After those 3 straight bogeys on the back. And I double bogey the hole, you know. So instead of shooting, that's it, par 5. Mm-hmm. And I got off the tee okay. Mm-hmm. It should be 5 at worst.
Yeah.
But I doubled it. So instead of a 74, it's a 76. Big difference. So the point of all this is that I, when you're playing well and it gets to a point, your subconscious is trying to tell you that you are not good enough to be here. You're going to have to get back where you belong. Mm-hmm. You know, and next thing you know, 14 and 15 at the club are very easy holes, and I was in great position, but I bogeyed them both. And even on the 18th hole, just that double, it's like, you know, you should shoot a 74. You played well enough to shoot better than 74. But, you know, you should shoot a 74, but no, 76 probably better.
Yeah.
So instead of like my, it's just frustrating because I'm aware of this phenomenon and I try to avoid it by focusing on the next shot. But don't think for a moment that on the 13th tee or the 12th tee, I didn't say to myself after birdie and 11, I was 2 over after 3. Mm-hmm. And I played the next 9 holes at 3 under par. Mm-hmm. And I don't normally make a lot of birdies. If I make 2 birdies in a round, I'm really happy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm 1 under, and don't think about the fact that I wasn't thinking about, okay, I'm 1 under now, I got this hole, and then I got the par 5 and the easy par 4, and then if I can get by 16, you know, even with a bogey maybe. And, you know, and you start thinking this stuff. When up and when I was on that streak, it was more just really taking it shot by shot and not thinking about the round as a whole.
Right.
Yeah. And I think maybe because I was 2 over after 3, I'm not really too happy with that start. And it kind of, the good round snuck up on me from there, you know. Mm-hmm. Just started playing well and had a few putts fall. But when you get to 1 under, instead of continuing on that path, it's like, whoa,
yeah,
you're 1 under. There is no way. You know, you're going to shoot a 69 or 70. No way. Just for, you know, just be happy to hold on and shoot 76.
You got that devil on your shoulder telling you to know your role.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And so, you know, I used to think that I can finish well and I could finish rounds like that. But, you know, after I've been playing golf for 30 years and I still twice this weekend couldn't close. That's how golf is. You play good for stretches and you play bad for stretches. I've been playing bad this year. I finally feel like I got it together and I'm playing good and I couldn't close those rounds, you know, and shoot the kind of score that I kind of think that I should have.
Yep.
So what's the tip?
Well,
you know, I mean, the tip, how do you cope with something like that? It happens to you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've talked about it before you just got off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think you've even club championship last year, 2 years ago, you got off to a fantastic start. I think you made a putt on the 11th hole to your right around even par, one over maybe.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I birdied 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, great in the club championship qualifier.
Right.
And I don't know where did that put you score wise.
That put me even at that point.
And so even now in the club, not in your wildest dreams did you hope to be even after 11 in for that very important round.
No. No.
And I don't know exactly what happened, but you didn't qualify. Or did you?
I was in the mix after the first round. The second round, no.
Oh, yeah, it was a 36-hole qualifier.
Right, yep.
Yeah, but you ended up shooting. You were even after 11, which is just like I was.
Yep, I was right in the mix after the first round.
But 82, what was it?
It was like, I think it was 81, 82, 83, somewhere in there for first round. And then the second round was like an 88 or 89, something like that.
And it's frustrating, though, because when you're playing your best, there's no reason to think you just shouldn't be able to continue that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's tough. You know, the mind gets in the way sometimes, and it inhibits what your potential is because you start, I try to avoid thinking about what I can do during a round, and it's hard to do. It's very, very difficult to do if you get a great start or you recover from a poor start, and then you start thinking, well, you know what, if I, you know, birdie this or if I just par out, you know.
Start filling in your scorecard before you've even played.
Right.
The only thing that matters is hitting good shots, one at a time.
Yeah, just the next shot is what's important, but it's so difficult to keep, we talked about it before, keep in the present, right? Yeah. It's very difficult to do, especially if you're playing good.
Yeah, and, you know, when I started getting into that round at Seneca, or both Ithaca and Seneca Falls were similar. I really had command over my not necessarily my tee shots at Ithaca, but felt good with irons, felt good with wedges, felt comfortable with a short game, felt comfortable putting. You know, everything just felt good, and I found myself really excited to play the next shot.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the thinking was on the next shot. And when you're in the middle of the round, it's easier to do that than when you have just a few holes left and you can start predicting the different scenarios that could play out instead of focusing on the next shot.
Right, right.
And, one way to do it is to really soak in your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's got me into the zone at Ithaca. It was a beautiful morning, beautiful course, brilliant sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable temperature, just ideal day, and a great group, and it was easy to stay in the present because the present was great. And if you came out and asked me during that round, you know, what day of the week it was, I probably couldn't even tell you.
Right, right.
Because I was just really loving what was going on at the moment in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you get to a certain point. You know, for me, it was the 17th hole. I almost birdied the 16th, and then on the 17th hole, you realize, geez, there's just these two holes left, and if I, you know, do this here, you know, and do that there,
mm-hmm.
So it's too bad. And honestly, the round at Seneca Falls was the same way. Gorgeous morning, Sunday morning. We were up nice and early. Mm-hmm. It was great conditions, great temperature. really the first time in weeks where we've played Seneca Falls where it was just finally dry and playing great, playing, you know, greens were good. It was, and so it was easy to stay in the present there. And, you know, I bet you if I didn't birdie that 11th hole, I made like maybe a 20-foot putt for birdie, and I did to get me under par, that I might not have started calculating so much, you know.
Right.
So try to stay in the present, I suppose, Bob, is my Zen tip of the week. Easier said than done.
Yes, it is.
Do you have any tricks that you have to kind of stay in that present zone?
No, I struggle with it big time. I struggle with trying to clear that stuff out of my mind and just worry about my next shot instead of filling out the scorecard ahead of time. You know, I, you know, on the last hole, sometimes if I check to see where I am, that normally doesn't bother me. But when you have a good start or a mid recovery start, that's put you in a decent spot. If you start checking it and trying to figure out what you got to do, you're not thinking about where you are at the moment and what you need to do to finish the hole.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, honestly, the best way to go about it is to not, if you can get to the 8th hole on the front nine or the 17th hole on the back nine, you really don't know. You know, if you, you probably know within a shot or two, but you really don't know exactly because you're so focused on the present. You're not recapping what you did in the last five holes, and you're not thinking ahead to what you could potentially do on the next two holes.
Right.
I think, you know, that you probably set yourself up for more success that way, but, you know, again, easier said than done. So,
absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that really separates better golfers than regular. You got to break through. And I guess for better golfers, it's different. If you're a tour golfer, you're used to shooting 66, 67, 68. That probably doesn't get you too out of your element. But when you get down there into the lower 60s, I bet you they start thinking,
"Yeah,
can I shoot 59? Maybe
sure."
But then again, some of those players probably just are, go about their business in their certain way that, that maybe none of that ever occurs to them.
I'm sure it takes practice, too, if you got to practice it like anything else, right? You know?
Yeah, if anything, these experiences this weekend, I hope will help me because I was shy. I wasn't that stunned by the bogeys at Seneca Falls, and I wasn't even that stunned by the doubles on 17 and 18 at Ithaca,
because
they're tough holes, and I hit two bad drives.
Right.
I even say, I actually, on 17, I made a maybe 3-4 foot putt for the double instead of what could have been a triple. And then, but on 18, after a bad drive, I had to lay up, and all I had to do was hit a wedge on the green, and I would have had a chance at par, bogey at worst, and I chunked the wedge, like the first shot like that I hit all day. So, yeah.
There it is.
We didn't talk about the big news, though, with Tiger this week. It wasn't that he made the cut. It's that he's apparently hooking up with Jason Duffner's ex-wife, and apparently the way the timeline kind of lines up is the reason that Duffner's ex-wife became his ex-wife was because Tiger was, you know, Tiger was taking her around the back nine, you know?
I've heard from several sources, including the internet, that him and Amanda have been, you know,
night putting.
Nothing. So again, it's a rumor.
It is, but you know what?
But
it's Tiger denied it. Tiger's publicist denied it. But
oh, sure, sure.
Know. But the thing is, the word gets out about this stuff, especially on the PGA Tour. You know, and you know, I believe in it's true.
Me too. I mean, look what happened to Ricky Bobby.
And look what happened to Duffner. He can't. Yeah. He's terrible now. He was really up and coming, and he won the PGA Championship. 2 years ago, Rochester.
Right. Yep.
And which I got the, you know, I think I have that flag hanging up right there. The 95th. It doesn't give you your. Oh yeah, it does. It was 2015. It was last summer. That was it.
Yes, it was last summer. Yeah.
Man, that seemed longer.
Or
than
was
that.
It? No, it was two summers ago, wasn't it? Not last summer.
Oh, it says 2013. I just can't read it. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. All right, well, Bob, like I said, next week we'll have Rhett Tacone back in studio. We're going to be talking about
British Open.
Yeah, give me some. What is your goal for Dutch Hollow this weekend?
My goal is, play well, get in, first, second, or third flight, and after the first day, and then, just constantly plug away. I mean, it's one of those courses where you have to plug away, and you have to hit good shots. So, looking to, have a great start on Saturday and an even better finish on Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know if I kind of like to keep that no bogey streak going, so mm-hmm. That'll probably be the focus right off the start and until make a bogey.
Right.
If it ever comes, and if it shouldn't come, I think we'll do just fine.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm doing, going and trying to ride that no bogey streak for another 18 holes.
Yep.
As long as we can, and hit the key shots that you need to hit on that golf course.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's only two of you. It's the thing about the two-man scramble. It can quickly become a one-man scramble when, that first guy is in the hazard.
Right, yep.
And when the really, putting too. Mm-hmm. First guy misses, it's a one-man scramble then.
Yep.
So, we'll tell you how we did next week. Next Monday night, we'll be back here one day after that event ends. And we'll preview the Open Championship at St. Andrews. So please remember to subscribe to us at fingerlakes1.tv/golfpod. Email us, contact@fingerlakes1.com, subject line FLX Golfer. And we'd send us photos, videos, events that you're having at your home course that you want to report. So, thanks for hanging out with us. A little choppy there. Hold up. We got to get out of here right, Bob. We can't just... Mm-hmm. We can't go out like that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. A little unresponsive here. It is hot up here in the studio, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope you had a great time hanging out with us for episode number 30 of the Finger Lakes Golfer Podcast. We'll be back live next Monday night at 9 o'clock. Until then, hit them long. Not often.
Like this by becoming a patron of fingerlakes.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1.
Fingerlakes1.com. Come on and join.